Chapter 3. Healthy Nettles. For the second practice walk, it was to be me, Miranda, Summer, and her friend Tom, walking from Oxford. One of the places I'd applied for funding was Lush, a toiletries company that fund grassroots environmental projects. Although we weren't able to get a grant, the Lush shop in Oxford offered to throw us a charity pot party. I had visions of us crouched inside a giant pot like a strippogram, with people throwing money at us. It turned out to be a weekend where the store donated profits from the sales of its charity pot moisturiser to us, and we had a stall to tell people about the tour. Proud of, and simultaneously embarrassed, by our official-looking BuzzTour canvas bags and business cards, Miranda and I laid out our stall with leaflets and draped ourselves in yellow and black fur. To top it all off, we wore wobbly black and yellow sequined antennae. I'd hastily had the business cards printed 2 days earlier, after being scolded by a woman for not having a business card to give her. We'd gotten chatting as we sheltered from the rain together. "This used to be all black," the woman had said, gesturing at the sand-coloured Oxford stonework. "I read it was because of the soot from the old coal fires. Then they banned them and cleaned all the buildings." "Nowadays we can't see the pollution," I said. "There's not the same incentive to do something about it." "I find it's good to look up in Oxford. There are so many amazing different gargoyles and lots of carved stonework. Unless, of course, it's late after a student night, then it's best to look down and watch where you step. People say Oxford streets are paved with gold, and they don't mean money." Summer and Tom joined us on the stall with lots of hugs. "So how do you know each other?" Miranda asked Tom. "We met in Copenhagen, trying to disrupt the undemocratic summit," said Tom, grabbing Summer's shoulders. "Yeah, we got arrested together, and unfortunately have been friends ever since," she said. A steady stream of passers-by came, many taking cards. One woman in her early 20s bought a BuzzTour bag and stayed to chat to all of us. Sarah, we found out, was doing a master's in sustainability, but hadn't heard of transition towns or permaculture. "Fantastic," I said. "There's lots out there for you to discover. That's what we want to do. Show people some of the amazing range of things that are happening." Sarah had a wide-eyed smile and lots of questions. She took a card and said she might even join us on the walk. We packed up the stall in the early afternoon and prepared to head off through Oxford. One of the obvious things about a visit to Oxford is the thousands of bikes chained to everything. Signs are on railings warning that your bike will be removed if it is chained there. Signs that are right next to chained-up bikes. It's common to see women in skirts and smartly dressed people cycling to work, as well as the thousands of students. Our first stop was Broken Spoke, where we met Ellie, who co-founded the bike co-op several years earlier. "The museum owned the building," said Ellie, "and they were slowly converting it." Surrounded by tools, with a blue work apron and a flowery scarf in her hair, she hunched slightly in embarrassment at our interest. And then some of us were like, "How about you give us some space as a bike workshop in the back, you know, while you're building it up?" "So how does the co-op work?" I asked. "Well, at the easiest level, you can just come here with a broken bike and we can help you fix it. People can also become a volunteer and help others to fix bikes and help us refurbish abandoned bikes. It's an employee and volunteer-owned organisation, so the people doing the work make the decisions." A young bearded man in the bike workshop turned out to be preparing to cycle to Australia. "It gives the ultimate sense of freedom," said Owen, whilst munching on a cookie. "The fuel I use is this," he said, taking another bite and breaking into a hamster-cheeked smile. "I'm from Australia originally, and I'd like to cycle back and explore the planet we live on along the way." I nodded, awestruck. "When are you leaving?" "Hopefully Thursday, but my wheel's not finished. We'll see." He showed us the bike frame. I'm going up to Iceland, through Norway, then down through Russia.
Wow, said Sama. You're taking the shortcut to Australia, then.
Back outside, I gave Miranda, Sama and Tom a brief health and safety talk about countryside hazards. I'd emailed around a document that I'd cheerfully entitled Safety, Happiness and Health, but it seemed unlikely to me that anyone would have read it. Cows. Now, cows are mostly just curious, but they can spook and charge or step on your foot. They can sneak up on you. They have poor eyesight, so if you hold something out, they'll think you're big and move away. Make firm, loud noises, but calmly. Never go near any animal with its baby or get in between them. Don't go near bulls. They're grumpy. A quick lesson in how to use the map and compass, then I handed them over. It felt really wonderful to see people learning to use maps. When I first started working out in the field, my navigation was awful, but with the help from colleagues and months of practice, it became one of my favourite skills. I hope the others might come to feel that freedom too. Walking out of Oxford to the northwest, we joined the River Thames and strolled along past Port Meadow Common. It often floods in the winter, and some parts of it still had mini lakes. Much of the land and buildings around Oxford are owned by Oxford University, but Port Meadow has been common land for hundreds of years. We hadn't gone far along the river before we came to a tree that Sama declared was good for climbing and promptly shot up it. A little further on, we saw signs to a pub. We followed a winding pathway of leafy archways and arrived at a 17th century thatched pub with a weeping willow in the garden.
Eve, called Miranda on her way through the pub garden. Did you want a drink?
My first solo expedition was by bike, age 19. I'd only gone a mile down the road when I needed the toilet, so I stopped in a pub. I felt too guilty to use their loo without buying something, so I bought a pint. Another 2 miles down the road, and I needed to go again, so I bought another pint. After a few more pubs and a couple of hours, I was so drunk I couldn't go any further. Sitting on a fuzz on the station bench, I was somewhat confused to see a much-loved ginger-haired cousin get off the train. I'd completely forgotten he lived there.
"All right, Eve, what are you doing here?" he said loudly.
"Well, I was on my way to Wendover, but I've had too much to drink," I said, smiling up at him. He cheerfully sat down next to me and we began to catch up on the intervening couple of years. He told me about his recent solo adventure hiking in the wilds of Scotland, when he'd nearly died falling off a cliff and been saved by his walking stick.
"Always have a walking stick with you," he told me sagely.
"Eve," called Miranda, "did you want a drink?"
"A lemonade would be lovely, thank you," I said slowly. I turned to ask Sama if she wanted some food and let out a bark of laughter as I discovered she was gone, already up the willow tree. Her one long yellow and orange braid was swinging free amongst the rest of her hair. When Miranda returned with the drinks, the four of us sat under the tree and Sama took up the video camera that had been donated to us. Across the bench from me, Tom's face was dominated by an unruly ginger beard. His gaze kept sliding to anywhere away from the camera as he smilingly told us about his new hobby of archery. "This is what we do," he said, gesturing with two fingers while smiling at Sama, who grew up in France. "To our French friends, to remind them that we still have our fingers to use bows and arrows and kill French people. I'm pretty sure there are still laws somewhere that allow us to kill French." Tom took the camera from Sama and turned it on Miranda.
"So, how is the practice walk going? Have you been enjoying map reading?" he asked.
Around a mouthful of peanuts, Miranda nodded.
It's actually one of my most feared things in life to do, is read maps. So this has been a really interesting exercise."
"Are you overcoming that fear?" he asked.
"Yeah, gradually. It's really interesting thinking about it in a different way," she said.
"What about the walking?" Tom asked.
"Good. Quite enjoying this half pint, hair of the dog. Note for the future. Don't get drunk before walking, she said.
Yeah, that helps, chipped in Sammer. Sammer thinks it helps.
Maybe not. Who knows, said Miranda philosophically as she finished the peanuts. Further up the Thames, we passed the ruins of Godstone Nunnery. Inside the walls, out of the strong wind, we took off our packs and dumped them down. Miranda grew up in Oxford and proudly told us about St. Frideswide and the magic healing spring nearby. Then about the professor, who told a girl named Alice a story that would become Alice in Wonderland near the very same well. How much food do you think you'll carry? Sammer asked as we looked around the ruins.
About 3 days' worth?
I want to save up a fair bit more money for all the expenses. If you run out of food, she said, just fast that day. It's good to fast sometimes. Then you see it's nothing to be afraid of. I try to do a fast 1 day a month. It gives your body a rest. I've just read Satish Kumar's biography. He did an 8,000-mile peace walk, and one of his most precious weapons was to be penniless. We need to trust others and trust what nature will provide for us. We're not isolated individuals, but elements of an interdependent community. If he could do it across the world, you can surely be safe on this small island. I lay in the sun considering, while Sammer skipped away to do cartwheels and handstands. During the day, Miranda told us all repeatedly of the health benefits of nettles. They have a full range of B vitamins, and there's protein too, she said. Nettle tea is really good for you. I'll pick some for dinner. She looked around at all the different plants with enthusiasm and the look of a woman on an adventure. This feels perfect, said Miranda happily.
I'd love a cider, though, said Sammer.
Oh, yes, please. Can we have a cider? Said Miranda.
And me, said Tom.
Miranda asked with her eyebrows if I wanted one. I smiled, shaking my head. I'd stopped drinking after I quit my job. At first it was just because I had no money, but after a few months I didn't fancy it anymore. They continued on, asking the universe for cider. About 3 minutes later, Sammer found a can lying in the middle of the path by the river.
Is that?
She said, picking it up.
It is! Cider! It's full!
Thank you, she said to the air. Another minute later, and another can, just to the side of the path. Then another, both full.
There's even one for you, Eve, said Miranda, pointing.
I'm all right, thanks, I said, smiling. And when she went to pick up the fourth can, we found it was empty. Walking through a field, we found an information board about a farm's conservation work, and we saw bee homes they'd put around the field, little bundles of wooden tubes. We walked on, debating and putting the world to rights, until we found a patch of woods to settle in for the night.
I've got all sorts for dinner, said Miranda. I'll pick some nettles to go with it, and she moved towards a clump of nettles.
Have you got gloves? I asked.
You don't need gloves. You just have to pick them in the right way and avoid contact with the edges of the leaves.
A short while later, Miranda had a whole bundle of nettles and a very red, blotchy hand.
I've got antihistamine in my first aid kit if you want some, I asked.
That's okay, I just need some dock leaves, she said, going off in search of the surrounding vegetation. We carefully removed all sticks from the area of the tents. I set up Miranda's and my tent as she got out her stove, while Tom and Sammer did their tent. By the time I'd finished laying out our beds, Miranda had already got the food on and gone for a short walk. A little while later, she came back from the undergrowth looking uncomfortable. I gave her a questioning look.
I just stung my bum on some nettles, she confessed as we all burst out laughing.
Look before you squat, I called out. Miranda cooked the nettles with the couscous and vegetables and sprinkled it with various nuts. It looked wonderful, but the nettles looked rather green. Being of a cautious disposition, I watched the others and waited.
Miranda, said Sama.
Her eyebrows came together and she was slowly opening and closing her mouth with discomfort.
"These nettles, they're a bit, stingy."
The following morning, the dawn chorus was amazing. So many surreal, different calls. We stood in silence together for a time and listened. Miranda made the breakfast porridge. Not gruel that children dread, but a porridge that other porridge wishes it could be when it grows up. Seeds, raw cacao, sliced apples, cinnamon. Last night's nettles were almost forgotten as we chewed. Almost. "That was a bit of a night," said Tom as we ate. "Why's that?" asked Miranda. "There was all this snuffling, Sammer," I said with a smirk. "And I think a bloody badger came along and dug up our tent pegs. In the morning I couldn't find the exit. The whole thing had completely collapsed on us," said Tom.
"Did it?" asked Sammer with mild curiosity.
Tom turned slowly towards Sammer in disbelief.
After we walked for an hour, Miranda looked pained by her knees. My complaining about my pack had begun the day before. Tired of my endless moaning, Miranda said, "Come here," and began to brusquely adjust my pack straps.
"I've already adjusted it. It just doesn't fit," I said petulantly.
Miranda doubtfully looked me up and down. "Stand still," she said sternly. Bracing against me, she pulled hard on the hip straps and was able to tighten them several inches and pull the backpack up to my waist.
"Ooh,"
I said. It was immediately clear that this was a lot better.
"Oh, thank you.
Sorry. Did I mention I love you and you're awesome?" My shoulder was still shootingly painful and making nasty crunchy noises, but the weight was now far better, and I endeavoured not to keep mentioning it. Further on, another horizontally curving willow tree provided seats for all of us. I lay down along the lowest curve, feeling my back click and aches all over. Sammer was already smiling down from the high branches over the river. "Come on up," she said to me. My eyes moved very slightly to look at her.
"I'm fine here. The smiler monkey and the tree sloth," I said, covering my eyes with my arm.
When we arrived back at Miranda's house, her housemates Rupert and Hannah were in. Rupert owns the house and has made it into a hub. Sooner or later, all environmentalists seem to pass through it. We took off our boots and packs and plopped, unmoving, into chairs in front of the Aga. When we drank our tea, we started idly discussing showers. Rupert and Hannah nodded encouragement eagerly, saying they thought it was a great idea. Immediately, in fact. They had been able to smell us as soon as we walked into the kitchen.